is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropping.
Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks.
Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He gonna come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins, touchdown, Buffalo!
McCoy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello and welcome to One Bills Drive. Welcome to our One Buffalo studio. It is the John Murphy Show. John Murphy alongside Donald Jones here for 2 hours. That's all today. 2 hours because of the Tim Murray news conference that we will carry live here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and on MSG. The general manager of the Buffalo Sabres answering questions starting at 2. So our show is abbreviated down to 2 hours. The way it used to be, Donald, it feels
you think
like old
if,
time.
If we like this two-hour time slot, we can at least keep it this way through the summer till we get to training camp?
If it was my call, yes.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it is not. Unfortunately, it is not my call. So 2 hours today with Tim Murray coming up.
Well, I hope we don't get too spoiled.
Yeah,
and then tomorrow, that third hour seems like just a drag.
Third hour yesterday. But we got a jam-packed couple of hours coming up for you. Cardell Jones is going to join us just off the field as the Bills wrap up another day of their off-season conditioning program. And the second-year quarterback from Ohio State going to join us coming up at the bottom of this hour. Cardell Jones at 12:30 today. Going to talk about the draft at 1 o'clock today. We're going to talk with really one of the foremost draft evaluators out there, Tony Pauline, who does a lot of work covering the draft. We will talk with him at 1 o'clock, get his thoughts on the draft. Of course, we're going to talk to you. We've got some sound bites from Sean McDermott on a radio appearance on our flagship in Buffalo earlier today, and a lot of things to talk about. So phone lines open, 803-0550 is the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. Donald and I here to talk about the Bills and the NFL, and we both got a peek anyway at the off-season work today. They're moving into tomorrow would be the final day of phase one of the off-season workouts. The Bills will take the players will take the long holiday weekend off, be back here Tuesday for phase two, which is fairly similar, a lot of conditioning work, but the coaches will be allowed on the field starting next week in what they're calling a mini camp next week. They have individual drills and work versus air, no offense versus defense, no one-on-one, no helmets. So it's kind of an accelerated pace starting next week with a three-day mini camp Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. All of it regulated by the CBA, the agreement between the players and the teams. And, you know, it all kind of makes sense, I guess, Donald. There's no reason, obviously no reason to be in pads, no reason to be hitting now. There's probably no reason to be hitting at any point during practice. But even teamwork, I think, it's probably a little bit early for that, and they won't get into that until, you know, a couple of weeks away.
I mean, teamwork, you have to really police these guys because – you know, right now you're just training, you're working out, you have guys that really are here right now that want to make this team, so they want to show and prove that they're good enough to make this team. So if you decide that you want to get together and do some team drills, offense versus defense, you know, you're trying to avoid those collisions. And on the football field, it's hard to avoid collisions because everybody's going full speed. And as a coach, you can only ask for guys to go to full speed. I don't want you to just walk there. I want you to go full speed. And if we're going full speed, we don't have on pads, then we're going to run into each other. We're going to have injuries. So the coaches have to, at this point of the season or at this point of the off season, be very careful in everything that they're doing and trying to, you know, work out and trying to install everything without having collisions and things like that.
Phase two begins next week. Pretty good attendance, we are told, after the first 2 weeks now. Tomorrow we'll wrap up the first 2 weeks of the off-season conditioning program in phase two. Again, a total of 4 hours per day, classroom work, and some work on the field, individual drills, but no offense versus defense. Clearly no hitting, no helmets, no pads, all of that coming up next week. Coaches allowed on the field next week for the first time. So that's what we're looking at as the offseason rolls along. Looking at Cardell Jones joining us at 12:30 today. Tony Pauline with a look at the draft coming up at 1 o'clock. The draft 2 weeks from tomorrow, round one of the NFL draft. And look, this is pie in the sky. This is fantasy land. But I got thinking about the draft this morning and where we're at. And we talk about so many prospects, so many positions, so many needs for this Buffalo Bills team. What if the Bills had their pick of three people in this draft? Didn't have to worry about anybody else. Didn't have to worry about any other teams. Didn't have to worry about, you know, missing on a guy, not being able to get to a guy. What if you could pick the top three prospects out of this draft to fit the Buffalo Bills? Who would you pick? We don't have a Twitter poll per se, but you can weigh in on Twitter. Love to hear your voice on the line. 803-0550 is the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're down to the last 2 weeks before the draft. We've had months of discussion about the draft. I think many of our listeners have a pretty good sense of who's out there, who's available, and most of our listeners and viewers have a good sense of what the Bills' needs are approaching this draft. What if you could pick three players out of the draft without regard to having somebody else picking those players? Who would you pick? Your top three prospects in this draft for the Buffalo Bills. Top three fits, maybe hit a need. Top three guys, you don't have to worry about somebody else snapping them up. The top three guys you would like to add to this roster. Obviously, they're all going to be first-round caliber guys. But what would you think? Who would you go for? Your top three prospects on the, in this draft for the Buffalo Bills. Give us a call on that, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Outside Buffalo, that's the toll-free, or you can do it via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. Your top three picks in this draft this year. I got mine, Donald, and in no particular order, because you don't have to worry about the order, because you don't have to prioritize. You can get anybody you want in this draft. But I would go with, again, in no order, Marshon Lattimore, the corner from Ohio State. He would be among my top three picks in this draft. I would go with Corey Davis, the wide receiver from Western Michigan. He would be on my top three prospects for the Bills, fitting a need. Don't have to worry about anybody else getting him. And I would go with Reuben Foster, the linebacker from Alabama. Hits a need, great player, some concerns about him clearly. But if I could choose three players that I would add to this Bills roster from this year's draft class, not have to worry about anybody else snapping them up before I got to him, those would be my three. Foster, the linebacker from Alabama, Lattimore, the cornerback from Ohio State, and Davis, the wide receiver from Western Michigan. What about
you? So for me, I would take it, you know, I guess a step further and really put it in order. And I would say that, you know, the Bills have two first-round picks. Let's just say the Bills have the pick at number 10, and then you have another pick in the, you know, almost at 20 or something like that. And then you go to the second round. So I would take Corey Davis at 10. I would take Reuben Foster, I believe. I think Reuben Foster is going to end up slipping into, you know, that 15 to 20 range just because of his character issues. So I would take Reuben Foster, and then I would take Marlon Humphrey, because I think he's going to end up in the second round. Even though he has first-round talent, I think he's going to end up going in the second round.
Really?
So I would take those three guys.
Humphrey ahead of Lattimore?
I would take Humphrey ahead of Lattimore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Even though he's going to be – he's the second – you think he's going to wind
in
the second round, but he's good enough to be in the first.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. He's good enough to be on this Bills roster, even if they have to
– oh, yeah.
And if he's there at 44 when the Bills pick in the second round –
oh,
you got to jump on him.
You got to jump on
him.
You know, he's coming from a pro-style defense, that defense down in Alabama, a defense where they come up and make hits, and we know Coach McDermott, he likes for his corners to help out in the run game, you know, and that's what he's known. He's known. Obviously, he can play the ball, he can cover, but he will come up and help out in the run game. So I think he's a good fit for this defense.
All right, so that's what we start with today. We'd like to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Look, I know it's not going to happen, but if you could get three prospects out of this draft for the Buffalo Bills, who would be your top three without regard of anybody else drafting? If you could just cherry pick three players out of this draft, who would you go with? 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Bills head coach Sean McDermott won't have that luxury in a couple of weeks, but he has taken a look at a lot of these draft prospects. He appeared this morning on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Howard Simon Show. And McDermott talked about preparing for the draft, and he was asked specifically, when you look at the draft, do you look to address short-term needs, like let's get better this year, make the playoffs, or do you have more of a long-term view? Here's what Coach McDermott had to say. Oh, we don't have that cut for you, so we'll try to get back to that. Coach McDermott, the audio not available. So let's get back to the phones. Let's get to the phones. Alex in Buffalo. Hello, Alex. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
Good. All right. So yeah. I got, my number one pick, I got Malik Hooker. My second pick, I got Marshon Lattimore. And my third, Mike Williams.
Okay, those are all viable picks. Why Malik Hooker?
Well, I think Malik – I mean, I've heard a lot of analysts say that Malik Hooker is a future Ed Reed. He's got great instincts with the ball. He could fly across the field. You know, I've seen him go from one end of the field to the other. He's quick. You know, he's very good in deep coverage, and I like his instincts. I think he would be a very, very valuable pick for us, and especially because Aaron Williams, you know, I know his playing days are probably over for us. Corey Graham, I know, is out of Buffalo now. I'm pretty sure. So,
Yeah, Alex. So you know, Aaron Williams, his days are over, at least here in Buffalo. Him and Corey Graham. Now, when you talk, it's always difficult for me to compare guys to Hall of Famers. You know, and Ed Reed is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
it's difficult for me because like there are guys that are very good in this league right now that won't be Hall of Famers. You know, it's hard for me to say, man, this dude is Ed Reed in the making. Like I just can't do that because that dude him. He's just one of a kind type of safety, man, that could really do everything out there, his instinct, everything. And I understand when the analysts make those comparisons or when people, period, make those types of comparisons, you're comparing the skill set on the field. But, man, it's hard for me to compare rookie to a Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Here's a call from Cal on Grand Island. Hi, Cal. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, great show, guys. I like this topic, too. First off, I'm going to go with Myles Garrett just because – he is such a original, like a guy with that size and speed. He's going to be hard to say. He's not going to be like defensive rookie of the year. That's just my opinion. I think he's a beast. One, you can always use a guy like that. Two, then I go with Adams, safety out of LSU. I think he's like the next would be Ronnie Lott, hopefully. And then now we need a receiver. And I like the way that the coach is going with this whole tight end package. So I will hopefully get that O.J. Howard, and that would be my three.
Okay. Did you just name four, though? Cal, I think you named four guys.
Did you name four?
Hey, a couple of things here. Myles Garrett, the edge guy, the pass rush specialist, clearly I think everybody's consensus number one, and yet reports today from Adam Schefter that the Browns may be looking to a quarterback, which to me is bizarre, and we'll talk about that in depth a little bit later on in the show. But, look, I know Myles Garrett is a great player. I guess as far as fitting the Buffalo Bills, and you're right, everybody can use a great player. But I think that there is a sufficient quantity of edge rush specialists here that I'd rather have somebody else than Myles Garrett. I don't know how you feel.
I agree with you there. I think we could probably fill a need somewhere else. But when you talk about them going with quarterback at number one, man,
that's crazy.
And you hear so many people say, man, I wouldn't even take these guys in the first round.
Right.
Now you're talking about possibly taking them at number one. That is just crazy to me, especially the Browns that have two first-round picks. You know, it's just – and they have, like, a few in the first – 60 picks, you know, so it's like, do you take a quarterback at number one of these guys that you don't – they've been taking quarterbacks in the first round for so long. It wouldn't shock me if they did it, but it's just crazy that they would think about doing that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it. I think it's fake news, just to give you a preview. But
yeah, if
the Browns are really considering it, then they're in bigger trouble than they usually are. Let us know what you think. The phone lines are open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it via Twitter. If everyone is available, anybody you want in the draft, who are your top three prospects for the Buffalo Bills? One tweet in on this, Taylor DeGeorge says, Hooker, Malik Hooker, Foster, and Davis. I like those three. Mm-hmm. Maybe those two of those three are mine, right? I put Lattimore in there.
Yep.
Blessed Buffalo Brother says, Adams, Davis, Humphrey would be my choices.
Is there an A on the end of that brother?
Brother,
yeah. Okay.
yeah, people got good ones here. Coach Cheney tweets, and Garrett, Mike Williams, and Hooker. Nick Lettieri says, you said my top three exactly, John. Yeah, that's who I think. And look, I think we're all in the right neighborhood here. Mm-hmm. A lot of support for Malik Hooker. In fact, Dom Mangano says, Malik Hooker is our center fielder, and cover three makes our defense unreal. Foster or Peppers is a consolation prize.
Yeah, I mean, we do need a center fielder. We know Aaron Williams was the strong safety on this.
Micah Hyde. What about him?
Micah Hyde, I believe, is more of your strong safety.
Okay.
You know, he's that guy that you're going to say, we need you to come down in the box and cover a tight end. We need you to cover a running back. You know, come down to help out in the nickel game. I think they're looking for a free safety, a guy that's back there that can range sideline to sideline. The issue is your free safety has to be smart. Your free safety has to know what's going on. And do you want your free safety to be a rookie? Is he able to come in and say, I control this defense, because the free safety is the one that controls the back end of the defense. He is the one that gets everybody where they're supposed to be. He is the one that says, oh, you're out of position. You're, you know, move over.
It's
move
a lot
over,
to
do
ask
this.
A rookie
it's a lot to
do.
Ask of a rookie. Yeah, so I don't know if
I'd rather
have
Poyer or Hyde or a combination of those two back.
Exactly.
Let us know what you think. Phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Everybody's available. Bills are the only one drafting, and they get the top three picks in the draft. How's that for fantasy scenario?
Man, that would be crazy. If you had the top three picks in the draft.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
You better win the Super Bowl soon after that.
What would you do? Who would you pick? Basically, we're asking you to evaluate who you really want on this Buffalo roster. And the phone line's open at 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let's try again with head coach Sean McDermott, who appeared this morning on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. He was asked about preparing for the draft, and does he view it with a short-term view, like we need to get better immediately, or a long-term view? Here's what he had to say.
This is about balancing both, and that's not a cop-out of an answer. That's the truth, and this is about making sound decisions for the Buffalo Bills organization and our fan base, not only now in the near future, but in the long term as well. So, I want to be responsible, Doug and I, and making the right decisions at the right time, and that means the right player at the right spot. And so we're going to look at every single option that's on the table. That's why we're burning the midnight oil over there and trying to make sure that we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
Defensive-minded head coach lean towards defensive guys in the draft? Yes, no, sometimes?
I think there is pressure to do that. I've seen a lot of coaches over the years do that and try and make sure that they get their side of the ball, mm-hmm. so to speak, up to where it needs to be, up to par. And I don't see that. I honestly, want to go in there and make the right decision. That means, just like I said, making or taking the best player. And whether it's, an offensive player or a special teams player or a defensive player, I mean, that's what we're here to do. And we want to find, in the first three rounds, we want to find guys that can come in and help us. And if it's a quarterback, it's a quarterback. And if that means he sits for a year, it means he sits for a year or two. I mean, again, this gets back to being methodical and going through the process to get the right player at the right spot.
Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, on this morning on WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Howard Simon Show. Didn't give up a whole lot there.
Nope.
But there is this thing about, and Howard asked a good question, defensive coach, do you look to the defensive player? And Coach McDermott, said no. But you know what? I think it'd be a natural inclination for any coach, offensive-minded or defensive-minded, depending on where his background is, to look to that side of the ball. This is what they know best. Sean McDermott, you have to believe, has a clear vision of what he wants his Buffalo Bills defense to look like, and a clear vision, hopefully, of what pieces he needs to make that work. And so for him, I think it would be a natural inclination, and not just for him, but any head coach coming from one side of the ball, to say, well, I trust my instincts on what a good safety looks like, what kind of a corner I need. Do I really know what kind of a right tackle fits in? Do I really know what kind of a wide receiver I need? I think there's a comfort level with coaches who've spent most of their career on one side of the ball that would lead them to draft that player with at least a premium draft pick, I think.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you look at the defense last year and what we really needed, right? And the defense was bad last year. The defense really needed corners. The defense, we lost both of our safeties. They needed help at safety. So, first of all, he played safety in college. So, obviously, he's going to look at these safeties and say, man, all right, I know this guy's a good safety. I played the position. I played with some of the good ones. I know how this guy, I can see it. I can see him being a great safety in this league, and I can see how he can fit into my defense. But then he's a first-time head coach. And so, for me, it would be just a natural for him to say, okay, I'm a first-time head coach. We really need help on defense. We really need help on the back end of our defense. So I'm going to go ahead and just go with one of these safeties or corners because, that's what I'm comfortable doing. I mean, that's what I play. That's what I know, So it would make sense for me if he went with the back end defense side of the ball at the number 10 pick. But let's just make it clear, though, it's not just him making the picks. It's Doug Whaley as well.
Yeah, Doug Whaley's in on it and taking input from other scouts and coaches. That's we agree on that. And there's yet another standpoint, and it comes via Twitter, a pretty good tweet from Sport Guy who says, I'm going to paraphrase his tweet here. It says, McDermott is a defensive guy. That unit will be fine. Make the offense elite. Draft Fournette, O.J. Howard, and Corey Davis.
Is that 140 characters?
Yeah. Man. And I paraphrase. But the guy makes a good point. The guy on Twitter makes an interesting point. McDermott, this is the corollary or the counter to what we just talked about, might feel like, look, I know defense. I know how to fix this defense. I got enough talent on defense. Let's get the offense better. But I disagree with that, but I think it's a valid discussion point. You know, make the offense elite. The offense was pretty good the last few years. Not elite, certainly, but pretty good, if one-dimensional, certainly one-dimensional. But I just think his comfort zone is going to be on the defensive side of the ball.
Top 10 in scoring on offense, even though it's one-dimensional.
Very one-dimensional.
Look, we need help in the passing game. We know that. It's a deep receiver draft. But me being a first-time head coach, me being a defensive-minded coach, me looking at our defense and how it was last year, and the defense really being one of, you know, if not the biggest issue on this team last year, it would make sense for me as a first-time head coach to make my very first pick in the NFL draft be a defensive guy.
You think he'd be comfortable with that, but we'll see. We're talking to you about the draft 2 weeks away, round one 2 weeks from tomorrow, and if you had the run of the field, if you could get anybody out of this draft, three players, who would be your top three picks for the Buffalo Bills addressing their needs? Lines are open at 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call, 1-888-552-550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A tweet from Chris Pearson. He goes, my top three, Marshawn Lattimore, Ohio State. He's one of mine. Reuben Foster, Alabama. He's one of mine as well. Then he goes, Christian McCaffrey from Stanford, the running back. He says, McCoy's replacement in 3 years after development. That's interesting. Interesting way to look at
it. You know what? I had this argument, and I don't even know why I went back and forth with somebody on Twitter, but I did. I went back and forth for like 10. I did get sucked into it. That's so bad. I went back and forth for like 10 to 15 minutes with this guy who was trying to tell me that that McCaffrey is a top 10 pick. And I was like, he is not a top 10 pick to me. He is not better than the other running backs in this draft. He's not even better than Joe Mixon to me. I think Joe Mixon is more of a natural running back than Christian McCaffrey is. I understand that Christian McCaffrey had crazy production at Stanford. I understand that, you know, he can play so many different positions, but he doesn't do one position great, and I don't think he's going to translate that into this league the same way. I don't think he's going to be able to do the same things that he did in college the way he got it, or the same things he did, in college once he gets here to the league. I just don't think it's going to be the same for him.
Yeah, I don't either. Sean McDermott talked a lot with Howard Simon. We'll get to that in a second. But first, a call, Brad from Rochester. Hi, Brad. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. After hearing McDermott talk about the draft and stuff, and it's hard to tell because he hasn't had a draft yet, but after he does, that move they did for Watkins a few years back, I can't imagine if he was around then that he would have been okay with that move. So I don't think he's going to be reckless or I don't know. He just seems like a kind of guy that's going to be smart with it. I can't see that move ever happening again, something like that, as long as he's in charge here. And I think he's running the show right now totally. I think he's the one that's actually going to pick these players. Whaley scouted him, and the information is going to be there for him. But I can't help but think that he's making the pick. And I could be wrong, but I think he's in charge of this draft totally.
Why do you say that, Brett? Hello, Brad. Why do you say that? Brad's gone. I don't know why he would say that. I think, you know, they're not going to tell us who's making the pick. You're right. Whaley and his staff have done the scouting work on this, and Coach McDermott's going to have a say in it. But I don't think it's going to be his pick alone. I don't think it's his decision alone. At least
they're
going to
do this together.
So.
I don't think, you know, Doug Whaley is out there doing all of the work, and then on draft day, it's like, all right, you guys bring me, you know, who you feel like is the best picks, but I'm going to make the pick. I don't think it's that way.
I think so.
They're going to sit down, they're going to meet, and they're going to talk about it, you know.
I'm curious as to how Brad and Rochester came to that conclusion based on what. I mean, we haven't heard anything from Doug Whaley to indicate that. We haven't heard anything from Doug Whaley. And Coach McDermott is pretty guarded in his comments.
Mm-hmm.
So you infer that from what? I don't know. I wish he was still on the line, Brad in Rochester. Call us back. You know, Coach McDermott is actively involved in the draft. There's no question about that. And in the draft process over these last few weeks and months. And we all know now, we talked about it the last few days, about the quarterback meetings over the weekend, right? I mean, they spent some time talking with Mitch Trubisky and North Carolina and Deshaun Kizer at Notre Dame over the weekend. I believe Saturday that was. McDermott this morning on our flagship in Buffalo was asked about these meetings with quarterbacks over the weekend, these draft prospects. And he was asked point blank, why are you doing this? What are these meetings with the quarterbacks all about? Here's what Coach McDermott had to say.
Well, there's two to three really evaluation points we look at. Number one is off the field. What type of young man are we dealing with, character-wise? And so, you know, I'm a big believer in order to win on the field, you have to win off the field first. And then the mental part of the game, you know, how football smart is he in terms of does he get the game of football instinctually, and then does he work at it? So you combine all that off the field with then the performance and the evaluation of the skill on the field and the workout that we just went through with a couple of those quarterbacks on the field, and then you put it all together and you make a good decision.
Sean McDermott talking about that quarterback evaluation, those meetings over the weekend, and when, again, it's you have to read tea leaves when you hear Sean McDermott, but I think it kind of gives credence to what you and I talked about when it comes to due diligence. Look, they may or may not draft these quarterbacks. It is the critical position on the roster, on the field. Let's, you know, we got time here. Let's drill deep into these guys, what makes them tick, and maybe somebody shows up in the second round for us. Maybe they draft one in the first round at number 10. I don't think so. It certainly has the side benefit, the added benefit of creating the smokescreen effect. Maybe we see that today with what the Browns are doing. You know,
yeah,
maybe the Browns saying we'll draft Trubisky number one. Maybe that's Cleveland's response to Buffalo saying Buffalo, you know, letting it out there that they may go with a quarterback at 10.
You know, I think right now everything is a smokescreen. I just think, like, everybody's just trying to put different things out there so that one team feels like this team is about to do something. Maybe then they'll call another team and try to trade and jump up ahead. I mean, that's everything that's going on right now. It's for me, it's all smokescreen.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they're going to do their due diligence on these quarterbacks. Like you said, it is the number one position in this sport, and it's probably the number one position in all of sports. So they're going to do their homework. When you need one or you feel like you don't necessarily have your guy for the next 10 to 15 years, yeah, you're going to check out every single one of them. But that doesn't mean they're going to draft one at number 10.
Speaking of quarterbacks, they drafted one last year in the fourth round, and he's going to be on the air with us when we come back. Cardale Jones, just in the process of his second week of the offseason conditioning program. We'll get his thoughts on his offseason so far and what lies ahead. Cardale Jones going to join us live when we return to the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones live from One Bills Drive. We're only on until 2 today. You're getting shortchanged of the wit and wisdom of Donald Jones by 1 hour today.
That's right.
Because Tim Murray's news conference, we're going to carry live on MSG and on the radio starting at 2 o'clock. He is the general manager of the Sabres, Donald. Perhaps you've heard of Tim Murray.
I've heard of him.
Yes.
So how's this? Is Petey and the guys coming back on set?
Andrew, I guess, is coming back.
Oh, yeah. Man. Is he getting paid overtime?
A little extra or something in his paycheck.
Petey, are they paying you overtime? Yeah. We need to talk about this.
Are they paying you enough, Andrew?
I can be your agent.
Hey, on the line with us is a guy this is an important spring for him on a variety of levels. He was a fourth-round pick of the Bills last year out of Ohio State. Quarterback Cardale Jones joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Cardale, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. We thank you for coming on, and we appreciate it. Just off the field after today's workout, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And as always, thanks for having me.
What's this first couple of weeks been like, the off-season conditioning program?
It's been great, you know, just being back around the guys and a lot of new faces and finally having a chance to go through an off-season program here with the team and get ready for the draft and all that type of stuff. But you can just tell it's a huge team-building period.
Cardale, so, you know, you're back here with the team working out, and obviously you guys are not doing anything football-wise with the coaches or anything right now, but what did you do back home? Did you work with the quarterback coach back home to help, you know, bring you along or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. I work with a guy named Jeff Christensen. I've actually been working with him since last year leading up to camp. And I'm just flying in and out of the city from Columbus to Arizona where he was. I'm just working with him a couple of weekends out of each month and just trying to hone in my skills and mechanics and things like that to, you know, help me deliver the ball from the pocket in different positions.
What's mechanically, what has been the focus for you, Cardale, and for your quarterback coach? What have you locked in on this offseason? Is something you want to improve upon?
Yeah, you can always improve on mechanics overall, but it was really nothing too serious. It was just keeping my feet and hips in line with my target and just being able to deliver, like I said before, deliver when my feet is not on the waist set or deliver some, you know, awkward positions or not
sit here before all that's funneled through, because he might have a rush or that and things like that.
Is it technology involved when you're training with him so that he can see what you're looking at and you should be looking off this safety and this type of coverage? Like, what's involved in that?
Well, nothing as far as when it comes to real-life scenarios. More so, like I said, just, you know, getting throws in, throwing certain routes. But, yeah, the biggest technology part of the whole thing that we were doing is basically him recording me from three different angles so I can see, you know, what I look like or where my back foot is hitting when I'm throwing a plant throw, you know, 10 yard out to my left, vice versa to my right, and where it should be hitting. And then it helps with him, you know, he recorded from three different angles to see how the ball come out and how accurate it is when my back foot, for instance, hit the right place, you know, and vice versa to, you know, and not hitting that place when the ball can maybe be off an inch or two. But, you know, an inch or two in this game is, you know, is a catcher drop.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Bills quarterback Cardale Jones. Cardale, tell me about last season. And, you know, patiently waited your turn, and the turn came in the second half of the season finale, Week 17. What do you think you got out of last year, and how much work were you able to get during the course of the season as the Buffalo Bills are trying to win games on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I'd definitely say I just got, you know, a huge learning experience out of last year, just understanding the speed of the game and you know, what different teams want to do to you and, you know, what type of looks they try to take advantage of their offense. And definitely going into that second half of the last game, you know, just, it was great to have that experience of a half a game under my belt. You know, I think the very first or second play, you know, they got a rough pass or something like a helmet to helmet. So it was good to get them, like, jitters out of there and really feel a, you know, NFL hit sort of thing.
Cardale, we always ask you about, you know, things that you have to improve upon in your game. And we talked to you about the offseason and you working out with the quarterback coach and all that stuff. And it's all good, but ultimately, do you think that you really only improve by getting game reps?
No, I don't think that at all. I think definitely my history kind of proves that. Mm-hmm. But I think, game reps are significantly important, but the mental reps and the mental preparation, definitely in this position, is another huge key point that no one should really undermine, because that's where the game is really won, definitely at quarterback, is the, you know, the preparing and the film and things like that. So, I definitely feel like I got better not having the game reps, but my understanding of the game, my IQ of the game, just keep enhancing, and they can, you know, enhance without game reps.
Hey, Cardale, let's get you back to this spring and the 2 weeks you've had in here. You got conditioning time on field. As you said, you're back with your teammates, but there's classroom time also, right, and a new offense to learn. How much of that have you done in these first few weeks back here in Orchard Park?
We do 2 hours each. 2 hours with the team, well, position meeting and sort of offensive meeting, and 2 hours of working out. So each day we get the same amount of work on and off the field.
So are they, you know, is it a crash course in this new offense, or are they kind of phasing in what you need to know here? How's this working for you?
Yeah, they've basically given us the things that we need to know and getting ready for next week. Just trying to give us a head up on the game right now, just because we got an extra 2 weeks with the, you know, the new coaching staff and things like that, and just things that we're going to be prepared for and kind of looks that we want to see next week from our defense, because our defense is switching as well. So it'll be a huge learning curve, not just for the offense, but for the whole team.
And Cardale, I want to ask you also about the quarterback room with the addition this week of T.J. Yates. You have sort of a veteran presence in there now, along with yourself and the young kid from Liberty. So it's kind of a nice mixed bag of quarterback experience in that room right now, I would think, huh?
Yeah, for sure. And, like I said, experience always helps.
Cardale Jones on the line with us. Cardale, I know off the field you have also spent some time this spring back in Columbus, back at Ohio State, working on finishing off your degree. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm actually headed back tomorrow to take my last final of the semester in my college undergrad career and actually graduate in May. So that was a huge accomplishment for me, and I'm glad to kind of, you know, almost put it behind me, but I'm pretty sure I'll pick up some more schooling in the near future.
Were you taking classes during the season last year?
No. I only had two classes left, and they were in-class classes. So I couldn't take them in the season, of course, because I was here. But I had a chance to return back this offseason in this semester to kind of finish them up.
And Cardale, your degree, I believe I read this, is African-American and African Studies, right?
Yeah.
What? Tell me about that degree and what you've studied and what you've learned during the time that you've been there at Ohio State taking those courses.
Well, I actually learned a lot. And things since that's like, you know, more so not just our history of being black African American, but the history of the country and how we evolved to the point that we are now.
What do you see yourself doing with that once you're done playing football?
I don't know, because I definitely want to take up schooling some more, so I don't know if I keep pursuing a master's in that background or something else. So, I mean, that's a great question.
And Cardo, one more thing. You had, you know, I think I read Urban Meyer, your coach at Ohio State, kind of saluting you for sort of changing your approach to education. I hear you now getting your degree in a couple of weeks and then even talking about graduate school. That's different from when you first started down there in Columbus, right, as far as your approach to school and the importance you put on education?
I wouldn't say it's different. I just didn't always have, you know, the same mindset. I always took school very serious. And I'm pretty sure people kind of thought that I didn't because of a tweet I made a year back. But school was always, you know, number one to me, my number one priority, just coming from a single-parent home and understanding how hard it was. How easy it will be for me with education.
Cardell, thanks for this. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Cardell Jones, Bills quarterback, joining us live on the Subway Fresh Tank Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with more on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, here until just 2 o'clock today. 2 o'clock only, because we'll carry the Tim Murray News Conference live starting at 2 o'clock. Andrew Peters will be back here to guide you through that. Coming up in the next hour, we will be on the air with Tony Pauline, who is a draft expert, has a mock draft that is up there, and we'll talk with Tony Pauline about some of the draft picks, and we're going to get back to the phone calls in a couple of minutes here, too, to talk about that. There is sad news here at One Bills Drive, and those of us who've been around here for a little bit are sad to get this news, and it came overnight. Tom Modrak, who spent 10 years in the Bills organization in the scouting department, died yesterday in his home in St. Augustine, Florida. He was 74 years old. Modrak reportedly diagnosed with a neurological disease in December, and the reports were that he was in hospice over the last week or so. Tom Modrak had a long and distinguished career in the National Football League with the Pittsburgh Steelers, came here with Tom Donahoe. He was with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was with the Eagles when they drafted Donovan McNabb, I believe, right? Yeah, that was his big pick there. And, of course, here with the Bills, he was a vice president of player personnel here with the Bills, coming here in 2001. Donahoe left after 2005. Modrak stayed. Ran the drafts for a long time until about 2011. Modrak here, supervising drafts that included the likes of Lee Evans, Kyle Williams, Marshawn Lynch, Paul Posluszny, Stevie Johnson, Eric Wood, Marcel Darius. He was here as well when they signed various rookie free agents, including Donald Jones. Donald, you got to figure he had something to say about the signing of you to the Buffalo Bills.
He probably scouted me.
Yep.
And I didn't even know it. And that goes to show you, I mean, you really don't know who likes you coming, you know, coming out of college. Like, you don't, there's always one person that, one scout that sees you and they're like, I like this kid. And then they obviously come back to the team and say, we should take a look at this guy. He might have been that guy. You never know. And I'm sure he had something to do with me ending up here. So, thank you.
Great guy. Very good with the media. Very engaging. Very open as far as explaining to you, you know, what his thought process was and why they picked the guys they picked. Not always right. None of them are. You know, nobody bats 100 or 1,000 in the draft for
There's
sure.
There's no way you can.
Yeah. But I do recall having long conversations with him about the McNabb pick in Philadelphia. He was roasted about that, and
really?
It turned out he was right, yeah.
People, why was he
I don't
roasted?
Know. People, you know, Philadelphia people are different.
Yeah, they are different.
Yeah.
It's the same as, you know, I mean, you're never going to be 100% right. Like you said, you're never going to bat 1,000 when you're talking about the draft. I mean, you just don't know how these guys are going to pan out. And once they get to this league, they look so good in college, but then they get here and it just doesn't translate the same way. Or, you know, back then these guys were making so much money. You're talking about first round picks. They make so much money then, you know, does that player come in here and work as hard as he did in college and trying to get to the NFL? You don't know. Like, you don't know what these guys are going to do when they get here. So, That ended up being a good pick, Donovan McNabb.
Booed at the draft when the Philly fans were not happy, but it turned out really better than okay for the Philadelphia Eagles when they drafted a second pick in the draft yesterday. There were A lot of Philadelphia fans wanted Ricky Williams, the running back, who had a decent career as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty obvious that Modrak knew what he was doing there. He was in on that along with Andy Reid and others. So Sean McDermott worked with Modrak in Philadelphia. A lot of people here in One Bills Drive have worked with Tom Modrak, and some of them with statements today, they're up on our website, some of the highlights. Russ Brandon, the Bills' managing partner and president of the Buffalo Bills, said he was a great competitor. He had a wonderful sense of humor and had a great perspective on life in the NFL. And he was basically a lifer in the NFL. He was a Pittsburgh guy, grew up in, with his hometown Steelers and spent a lot of time there. And he did have a great perspective on what it took to succeed in the NFL. Doug Whaley, Bill's general manager, said that he met Modrak more than 22 years ago in Pittsburgh and said he was instrumental in helping him establish his career. Doug Whaley's statement today, Tom Modrak had a remarkable career as an NFL personnel executive and influenced the scouting business and a countless number of scouts along the way. And finally, Sean McDermott, who worked with Tom Modrak in Philadelphia, and I haven't done the math, but I would assume that McDermott, when he started as a volunteer scout, intern slash scout in the personnel department with the Eagles, Modrak must have been there. Sean McDermott, Bill's current head coach, said, he was a great influence on so many of us who were eager to learn anything we could at a young age in Philadelphia. McDermott went on to say, one of my favorite things was that he was not about the limelight or personal attention. He always wanted what was best for the team. I would echo that sentiment too. Modrak, accessible for interviews, open to do interviews from my perspective, both before I worked for the organization and since then. But it wasn't like he was out there seeking attention. And right. We've seen some of those guys too who want to say, that's my draft pick. That was my guy. I got him. He wasn't ever concerned about who got the credit or the blame for any draft picks. He was concerned about, did this guy help our team and was it a good pick for our team?
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
If you want to be the guy that's taking credit for everything, then you shouldn't be here. Because ultimately, the guy that takes the credit, obviously, is the guy that's going to take the blame. And you're going to take some blame because you're not going to pick everything right. I'd much rather be the guy that's behind the scenes as well. When you're talking about drafting, let me be behind the scenes and out on the road and pick out all of the guys who I feel like this is the best guy for our team and help out that way. I don't want to be the guy that's in the media all the time saying this is my draft pick, this wasn't my draft pick. No one cares about that. Ultimately, you still haven't won. The team still didn't win, So if you're the guy that's out there, well, you're part of the problem. That's what people are going to say. You're part of the reason why this team didn't win.
They're going to say that about Modrak, you're saying?
No, I'm saying if you're the guy that wants to be out.
Oh, if you want to be out there.
Yeah, if you want to be out there. So it was good that he was behind the scenes, not trying to be that guy.
Yeah, I think more when I think Modrak and a lot of, I think, personnel guys, it's not as if they're shirking responsibility for draft picks or their evaluations. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they know that it's a collaborative process, that – there's a team of scouts who visit these players and visit their coaches and do the work, write the reports, evaluate the video. And I think the good ones, like Tom Modrak, acknowledge that it's a collaborative thing. It's not my pick or it's not my evaluation. It's not my report on this player or that player. It's a collaborative thing and involving scouts and personnel people and coaches and even the people who transcribe some of their reports. And I think Modrak was like that. He got that. He knew that it was not just him that was involved in these draft picks. So
and deep down, and guys probably would never come out and say this. If I was a scout that was out on the road, and let's just say I found a Pierre Garçon, a Fred Jackson, a D3 guy that's coming off the streets and ends up playing as good as he does. Deep down, I take some pride in that.
Sure,
like, I went and I found that guy, like in the middle of nowhere. But I would never be the guy that's out saying, I found Fred Jackson. Who cares?
Yeah, and I've seen guys like that, though, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're out there. Anyway, we salute Tom Modrak and his career in the NFL. We enjoyed immensely his 10-year stint here in Buffalo. A great guy to know, and, of course, our sympathies go to his family and his friends, many friends around the National Football League. Tom Modrak passed away last night at the age of 74. And it's, you know, the time of year, really, when you're thinking about guys like Modrak and his predecessors and his successors here at One Bills Drive. It is draft time. We're 2 weeks away from round one of the draft that comes up 2 weeks from tomorrow. You've got a couple of weeks to get involved and maybe predict who you think will be the Bills' first pick in the draft. It's online on BuffaloBills.com, our M&T Bank Predict the Pick contest online right now, and it's open until the day before the draft. So 2 weeks left in this. All you got to do is go online and predict correctly who will be the Bills' first pick. Got great prizes. If you predict correctly the Bills' first pick, get a chance to enter into a drawing to meet that draft pick. They've got some new era caps to give away. It's all up there online. Go to BuffaloBills.com. The Predict the Pick contest, it is presented by M&T Bank, and it is up right now at BuffaloBills.com. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk more about the draft with Tony Pauline. He is one of the foremost draft experts. He's got a mock draft. He's got some picks for the Bills in the first three rounds. We'll talk with Tony Pauline about that when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network, sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where the Bills have wrapped up another day of their offseason conditioning program. One more day of the phase one of the offseason conditioning program. That coming up tomorrow. And then next Tuesday, the Bills begin a mini camp with a little bit more activity on the field and the opportunity for coaches to supervise some of the workouts. That starts next Tuesday. Bills at One Bills Drive mourning the loss of Tom Modrak, retired former scouting executive, former vice president of the player personnel for the team. He died Tuesday in his home in St. Augustine, Florida. He was 74 years old. Modrak came to the Bills in 2001. And oversaw several drafts until his dismissal in 2011. Around the NFL, Adrian Peterson still without a contract. He visited the New Orleans Saints yesterday, met with the Saints this week, left without a deal. Reportedly, the visit went well. The two sides will continue to talk. And the Los Angeles Rams have exercised their extra year for All-Pro defensive tackle Aaron Donald, the number 13 overall pick in 2014. His salary is set on the exercise of the fifth-year option. Sabres cleaned out their lockers a couple of days ago. Now they begin to look to the future. GM Tim Murray will address a variety of topics today when he meets the media for a season-ending news conference. That starts at 2 o'clock today. We will carry the news conference live right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and on MSG. Looks like Ken Hitchcock is going back to coach the Dallas Stars, according to the AP. Hitchcock won the Stanley Cup with Dallas in 1999, coached there for parts of seven seasons. He replaces Lindy Ruff, who was fired a few days ago after four seasons in Dallas. Stars missed the playoffs this year after winning the Central Division last season. And the Buffalo Bisons trying to bounce back from their first loss of the season. They host the Rochester Red Wings this afternoon. First pitch just a couple of minutes away. The Red Wings took a no-hitter into the eighth yesterday, and they beat the Bisons 5-0. Bisons will start righty Mike Bolzinger in today's game, and it's a 1:05 first pitch at Coca-Cola Field. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are 2 weeks away from the draft, round one 2 weeks from tomorrow. John Murphy and Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, one of the foremost draft experts in the NFL. He is a draft analyst and publisher of DraftAnalyst.com, draft insider for SNY Network. Happy to have Tony Pauline on the line. Tony, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thanks for joining us here today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
What do we make of all these this quarterback movement anyway, with some people thinking Trubisky now reportedly could be in the Browns' sights as the number one overall pick? What do you make of all this?
Well, I make that it's 2 weeks away from the draft, and, yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff flying in the air. Some of it will be true. A lot of it won't be true. And, you know, what do you ever make of the Cleveland Browns? They never, you know, you never know what they're going to do. So it kind of fits. I think, you know, you're going to hear a lot of things that are thrown at the wall over the next 2 weeks. I think in the end, despite what's being reported, despite what I reported this morning, the Cleveland Browns will take Myles Garrett with the first pick of the draft, or at least they should take Myles Garrett.
So is it smokescreen? Is it deliberate by teams? Or is it just, you know, maybe people just going off the reservation and speculating a little bit? What do you think?
I think that there is usually, you know, disagreements in war rooms at this time of the year. You know, you have your scouting staff that has basically scouted these guys anywhere from 2 to 3 years and have done a lot of film work, and then you have coaches who have gotten involved in the scouting process since January, and they have their, you know, pretty strong opinions about players. The weird thing about what I'm hearing out of Cleveland is it's the coaching staff that wants Myles Garrett, and it's the front office that wants the quarterback.
Huh.
I mean, that's a strange thing. That's usually the reverse. The coach usually wants the quarterback or wants to fill the need with a good player, where the front office is pushing best player available. There's always disagreements. I mean, you go where you're sitting right now into the back of the Buffalo Bills war room, and they're not all in agreement, you know, holding hands, singing kumbaya about one player. You're going to have different opinions and strong opinions about players. That's just natural.
It's been said that none of the quarterbacks in this year's draft class belong certainly in the top 10. Some people don't think there's a legitimate first rounder, which will not preclude someone from taking a quarterback in the first round, right? How many do you think in that first round?
I think two, Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, those are the only two guys who I see as first rounders. I'm not a big fan of this quarterback class. I think they all have a good amount of upside, but they all come with downside risk. None of these guys, except for Deshaun Watson and maybe Deshaun Kizer, have large bodies of work. They all have big holes in their games. You know, when you're dealing with underclassmen, there's a large unknown there. But quarterbacks are always overdrafted. They're always taken much earlier than originally anticipated. So I think in the end we'll see two quarterbacks selected in round one.
Tony, in the beginning of this whole draft process, I mean, Pat Mahomes was like the fourth quarterback that everybody was talking about going, I guess, later in the first round, possibly even in the second round, early in the second round. Now he's climbing everybody's draft board. So what's going on that's making him climb and jump above everybody else?
And I was one of those guys who had him as a second-round pick. So I think there are two things. I think, number one, go back to what we just talked about. I mean, there's a lot of holes in the games of all of these quarterbacks. So, I mean, there's a lot of downside risk, which is one aspect. The other thing is he's got the best physical skills. He's got the best arm. He's the guy who challenges the vertical game. He's the guy who's able to make the throws downfield that a lot of quarterbacks in the league today can't even make. And that gets offensive coaches, offensive-minded head coaches, you know, that gets their mouth salivating as to what they can potentially do with this guy if he's underneath center. Now, that said, you know, Mahomes barely took snaps from underneath center. He's primarily a shotgun quarterback out of Texas Tech, rarely played with a tight end or a fullback, played in a wide-open system, played in a conference that really does not have good defenses. So for all his wonderful physical skills, it's going to take a while before Patrick Mahomes is NFL-ready, in my opinion.
Now, with him having the physical tools, obviously, to be a great quarterback in this league, but then when you look at the system he comes from and how he plays the game, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about first round, or are we talking about top 10 pick?
No, I think he's a bottom third of round one guy. I have him right now going to the Houston Texans. Maybe he goes a little bit earlier, say a team at the top of round two, whether it be the San Francisco 49ers, team like that who didn't get their quarterback at the top of round one may want to trade back in to the middle part, or, you know, that 21st pick of round one to grab a guy like Patrick Mahomes. He's not a top 10 pick. I mean, I know the New York Jets like him, but I don't think they would be that insane to take him with the sixth selection overall. There's just too many hurdles that he has to overcome before he's really going to be legitimately NFL ready.
On the line with Tony Pauline, NFL Draft Analyst, publisher of DraftAnalyst.com. And up on DraftAnalyst.com, you have a four-round mock draft, Tony. And I want to ask you about some of these picks. And before we get into it, just your methodology. You try to match a need to the players available? These are not your rankings of these draft prospects, right?
I try and find some happy medium. So, you know, I lay out my team needs. And when I come up to, say, a team like the Buffalo Bills, who I think need cornerbacks as well as receivers, you know, I will look at which player at the position is highest on my board, you know, without going too far down my board. So I try to go best player available and do it within reason to fill a need. If a team has a really good running back and the best player on the board is a running back, obviously I'm not going to load up on running back. Same thing with a left tackle.
All right, so I want to get to some of the players you've mocked to the Buffalo Bills, and we'll get to your first-round mock Bills pick first, but we were just talking about quarterbacks. You mentioned how you got Trubisky going to, what, the Jets at 12 and Houston taking Mahomes at 25. The third quarterback off your board goes to the Buffalo Bills, and a guy that I haven't seen a link to the Bills or anybody really much, and that's Davis Webb from Cal. What can you tell us about him, and why does he match up with the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, just one quick correction. I have Trubisky going 12th to the Cleveland Browns, not 12th to the New York Jets.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
That's
right. Okay.
I think, you know, he's a good cold-weather quarterback. He's got excellent pocket size. He's got the stature. He's got the arm strength to make all the throws. He did a good job at the Senior Bowl. He throws a very pretty ball. I think he's going to need coaching. He's going to need to work to throw with consistent, proper mechanics, which will only make him a much more accurate quarterback. You know, he's a guy who had a big year, but he's also a player who couldn't beat out Patrick Mahomes for the starting job at Texas Tech and never really had a winning season in college. So there's a lot of work there. But still, you look at the size, you look at the arm strength, you look at the flashes that he's shown on the field, you know, commanding that Cal offense as a vertical passer as well as, you know, throwing the safe underneath outlets. And there are a lot of tools there to work with for Davis Webb to eventually develop into a starter at the next level.
And a better prospect than like Kaiser or some of the other quarterbacks whose names we hear mentioned these last few months?
I think Kaiser may have better physical skills, but I think he's going to need a lot more coaching. The best way to put it is Kaiser probably has more upside than Davis Webb, but he's got a lot more downside, and he's a lot less of a sure thing. Not that Davis Webb is a sure thing by any means.
And one more quarterback question before we move on. Where do you have Deshaun Watson? Where do you have him ranked, and where do you have him going in your four-round mock draft?
I have him as my third-ranked quarterback right now going to the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, he's a leader. He's a winner. He knows how to command the offense. But unlike Patrick Mahomes, who we talked about, unlike Davis Webb, he doesn't have those great physical skills. He doesn't have the big arm. The further down the field or out to the flanks he throws the ball, the less accurate he is. The more of an adventure it becomes. So I think with Deshaun Watson, especially with his height and everything else, he's basically a system quarterback. You're going to have to develop a system around him if you want him to be successful.
All right, Tony. So let's get back into your 10th pick to the Bills. And you know, we got to talk about this because it's a position that really brings everybody to the games, and that's the wide receiver position. You have Mike Williams going to the Bills. What makes you put Mike Williams ahead of a guy like Corey Davis?
Number one, he's got a little bit better size. Number two, you know, in this day and age, you beat 6'1" cornerbacks with 6'3" receivers, which Mike Williams is. He's a guy who, and this may come across the wrong way, made a living out of catching many of Deshaun Watson's errant throws. I mean, if you watch the film, you know, he was not really making all that many catches in stride, you know, smoothly. He was getting vertical. He was contorting backwards, you know, to grab the ball out of the air. I think that's the type of receiver that a lot of teams want. It's also probably the type of receiver that the Buffalo Bills need when you look at their quarterback situation. My one question about Mike Williams is that neck injury that he had that kept him out of the 2015 season. You know, the Buffalo Bills doctors or any team doctors are going to look at those MRIs and kind of determine, you know, is that going to be a problem for him 2, 3, 4 years down the road? And if Mike Williams starts to slide on draft day, that's a red flag that's going to pop up. But I think when you look at the overall package, he's not a vertical receiver, but he's an exceptional short and intermediate receiver. He's an outstanding red zone threat. He's got great hands. You know, he plays hard, and he wins out for those contested passes almost every time.
Couple of other, before we get to the Bills, who you have mocked to the Bills in the third round, couple of other early first-rounders I want to ask you about. You have two safeties among the top seven picks in your first round of your mock draft, Tony. That's pretty high for safeties, isn't it?
It is, but both of these guys are exceptional players. Now, I have Jamal Adams going before Malik Hooker, but I actually think Malik Hooker, the redshirt sophomore from Ohio State, is a better safety, or he's more of a safety to my liking. Jamal Adams out of LSU is, you know, an up-the-field type of guy who's very good in the box, very good sideline to sideline. Malik Hooker out of Ohio State is more of your rangy free safety, better in pass coverage, a guy who you can put over the slot receiver and you're not going to lose anything. You know, you're right. It is unusual, but both of these guys can play, and both of them are three-down defenders. They're not scheme-specific players. They're three-down defenders, very good against the run. Adams a little bit better than Malik Hooker against the run. Also both good against the pass. Malik Hooker much better against the pass than Jamal Adams.
And you have a tight end, O.J. Howard, obviously, the class of the tight end group. You have him going fifth overall. Again, very high for that position, isn't it?
But, you know, O.J. Howard is a difference maker, and you watched him at the Senior Bowl, and I know you guys were down there. I mean, he is basically a 250-pound possession receiver. in a tight end's body. And he can also block. The thing with O.J. Howard is getting him to play up to his level of ability on an every down basis. But if the light goes on for O.J. Howard, you're going to have a Pro Bowl type of tight end on your roster.
Hmm. Tony, you have – I want to get to another position that, you know, the Bills probably need, and that's the cornerback position. You have Marshon Lattimore as your top corner going at number 9 to the Jets. And then you have a guy that's really climbing the draft boards, and that's Garion Conley out of Ohio State, a name that you're not really hearing that much. It's like he's quietly climbing up the draft board. So what do you feel about him?
Well, I mean, I love Conley. And the fact is the best way to put it is Marshon Lattimore is the better athlete. Garion Conley is the better cornerback. There's a lot of love for Lattimore. I think he's slightly overrated. Basically, only 1 year of a 1 year starter at Ohio State. Doesn't have a big body of work because of hamstring issues. You look at Garion Conley, he's got tremendous ball skills. As someone at Ohio State told me, he's always doing the right thing on every down. Someone else told me they liken him. He's a better version of Eli Apple, who was the 10th pick of the draft last year to the New York Giants, had a good rookie season. He's got excellent size. He's got excellent ball skills, very good at making plays with his back to the ball. You know, that's something with college cornerbacks that you really have to watch out for. You know, in college you can do a lot of face guarding and get away with it. You can't do it in the NFL. Conley doesn't face guard. He runs downfield with the opponent. He's able to get his head back around, track the pass, and make his move to the ball. Lattimore, on the other hand, he's fast. He's able to recover from his mistakes or recover to make the play because of his outright speed. Personally, and I've written this literally for the past 2 months, I prefer Connolly's ball skills to that of Marshon Lattimore. That's why I have them so closely rated. But the fact is these teams like speed, and Lattimore is an exceptional athlete.
On the line with Tony Pauline from draftanalyst.com, NFL draft expert. He's got a 4-round mock draft up right now at draftanalyst.com. And in the 3rd round, you have the Bills going with the cornerback from Tennessee, Cameron Sutton. Tell us about him, Tony.
Yeah, versatile guy. You can line him up on the outside. He can play on the inside. May also be able to play some safety for you. Someone who was a 3-year performer at Tennessee, had some injury issues last year, so wasn't able to complete his senior season. Competitive guy, excellent ball skills. Not the greatest athlete, more of a 4-5 type of defensive back, but really when the ball's in the air, he's not going to make mental mistakes. He's not going to have breakdowns. He's not going to blow assignments. He's going to put himself in a position to make plays on the ball. Also a very tough run defender. I think he's a complete player at the position, but he's not a great athlete, which is why he's going to be pushed down into that late second, early third round area.
And we keep hearing about how deep it is for defensive backs, cornerbacks in particular, in this draft. Is Sutton an example of that, would you say, Tony, that, you know, you don't have to really jump on a Humphrey or Lattimore or Conley or somebody like that? You can wait until the 3rd round. A guy like Sutton will be there, and you get pretty good value.
Yeah, you can wait to the 3rd or the 4th round. I mean, you're going to have good cornerbacks, you know, going through the late part of round 3, even the opening part of round 4. A guy like Jalen Tabor of Florida, who you know, was a terrific cornerback, was a terrific football player, just didn't time well for the 40. He ran in the 4.7s. So because of that, he's going to be pushed back into that late third, early fourth round area. But he can play. I mean, he's a guy who, in a right system, in the proper system, a zone type system where you don't ask him to cover a lot of area, he's going to do a good job for you. But yeah, absolutely, you'll be able to get cornerbacks really through the end of the 3rd round, wow, Beginning of the 4th round. And when I say good cornerbacks, I mean guys who can play nickel for you, guys who can play over the slot, and in the 3rd round, guys that could potentially develop into starters for you.
All right, Tony, I got to ask you about a guy who is very versatile, probably he might be the most versatile guy in this draft, and we get calls about him all the time. He said that he's a safety. You know, he said that at the combine that he's a safety, Jabril Peppers. But he hasn't really played that much safety, you know, and so is that the reason why you don't have him all the way in the top 10 and back at, what, 17?
Yeah, I love Jabril Peppers, and I think because of that, I may have him back at 17, but if you look at my big board, he's a top 10 player. I mean, he's a guy who ranks up there because of his athleticism, because of his versatility, because of the fact that, you know, he's one of those guys, as he's learning to play, I think the safety position, he's going to help a team as a return specialist. But again, you know, the question is, where do you put him in the NFL? Is he a safety? Is he a strong safety? Is he a zone safety? Is he a free safety? In my opinion, I think he can be all three of those things. you know, obviously not on every down, but I think he can develop into all three of those things, and you can move him around. It just may take some time for him to, you know, learn to acclimate to those positions and basically, as I said before, make plays with his back to the ball, playing man coverage situations as NFL safeties are often asked to do.
Now, because of that, because it's going to take time, because, you know, he's a great athlete, but because he's somewhat of a project, could you even see him sliding past 17 and maybe even into, like, the second round?
I have a difficult time seeing him slide into the second round because, again, as I said, while it may take time, he's going to lend a hand on special teams. I mean, he is a game-changing return specialist. So while you're, you know, it's not like trying to develop a quarterback where he's going to basically do nothing but sit on the sidelines. You know, Jabril Peppers, as he's developing, you can put him on the field in nickel and dime packages, and you can have him, you can use him as your return specialist, and he'll alter the momentum of games with long returns.
Hey, Tony, here's a guy on the offensive side of the ball who fits the bill for versatility. In fact, you have him mocked to the Eagles at number 14, Christian McCaffrey of Stanford, and you have him listed as a running back, wide receiver, punt return man. Where is he? How does he fit in with the Eagles or anybody else? And how much will teams value that versatility as they get ready to draft in a couple weeks?
I think just like I said, I mean, you know, the Eagles want weapons for Carson Wentz. They want to improve their running game. Christian McCaffrey improves the running game for the Eagles. They want to improve their receiving core. He does that. He does that out on the flanks. You know, he does that as a slot receiver. He does it as a receiver out of the backfield. And, of course, you can use him as a return specialist. So I really think you're getting the trio. It's a grand slam of things with Christian McCaffrey. He's the type of guy that, while he's not the big dominant type of offensive player, he's sort of the type of offensive skill player that opponents are going to have to game plan around because you're going to be able to use him in so many areas as well as a return specialist. So I think he brings a lot to the table. He's not the type of guy that's going to carry the ball 20, 25 times a game. You may give him 10 to 12 carries. You may throw the ball to him 4 or 5 times a game and use him as a return specialist, but he's very productive, and he can score from any point in the field when the ball's in his hand.
Is there anybody comparable to him in the NFL right now? Anybody close?
You know, I want to say he's a bigger, better version of Darren Sproles,
okay.
That type of guy that has been used all over the place, and Darren Sproles has had a very long and productive NFL career.
Tony, since we're talking about running backs, I have to ask you, because I believe, to be honest with you, that Joe Mixon might be the best running back in this draft. So where do you have Joe Mixon going? Is he going early? Is he going to slide? Where do you think?
You know, I don't know. I mean, right now, I think there's a possibility Joe Mixon may not even get drafted because the fact of the matter is he's only going to be able to go to specific cities, and whatever team drafts him, they're going to have to get the approval of the owner first. You know, the general manager's, you know, is not going to make the call. The owner's going to have to sign off of this because of everything that Joe Mixon brings with him. I agree with you. He's a sensational running back. I still would put Leonard Fournette ahead of him. I think because of Christian McCaffrey's versatility, he would go ahead of him. But, you know, he's going to be a distraction. There's no doubt about it. Whatever team drafts him, you know, wherever they draft him, that night in that city, all you're going to see is that videotape. And there's going to have to be questions that are going to have to be asked about it, answered about it. So you have to decide as an owner, you know, what is the risk versus the reward. Difficult situation for any NFL team. Very talented player. I mean, a guy who can take over games. Not only is a ball carrier, but he's also an exceptional pass catcher in the backfield. But that videotape lingers.
Hey, Tony, before we let you go, I'd like to ask the draft experts like yourself this question. Do you have a favorite guy in this draft? You've spent a year or more on this. You've made this your life's work. Who do you like in this draft that you're just intrigued by? You want to see where he winds up in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Hassan Reddick, but everybody's on the Hassan Reddick bandwagon. I'm going to say Buda Baker. He's smaller than what most NFL teams want at safety, but all the guy does is make plays. He's explosive. He's tremendous in pass coverage. He has outstanding ball skills. He's physical. He plays big football. He reminds me of a smaller version of Earl Thomas, a guy that people look at the size, speed numbers. They look at the backfield, defensive backfield he was in at Washington that had Sidney Jones, that had Kevin King, and he's sort of an afterthought. But man, oh man, the guy plays smart, tough, aggressive, athletic football, and I think he's going to be a late first-round choice, may fall into the second round. And 2 or 3 years down the road, teams are going to turn around and say, how do we let that guy get out of the top 12?
That's a good one. Hey, Tony, great work. We thank you for your time this afternoon, and have a great draft day. It's only a couple weeks away now.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Tony Pauline, he is an NFL draft analyst, publisher of draftanalyst.com. He's got a four-round mock draft up right now at draftanalyst.com, and he's got the Bills picks. He's got Mike Williams going at number 10 overall, first round of the Bills, a wide receiver from Clemson. He's got the California quarterback, Davis Webb, in the second round, 44th overall. He's got defensive back Cameron Sutton of Tennessee as the Bills' third-round pick. The Bills do not have a fourth-rounder. I think the Davis Webb selection in the second round, that got my attention.
That got my attention. I mean, you know, first of all, what got my attention was Deshaun Watson in the second round for him.
Yeah.
And then you have Davis Webb coming here to the Bills.
And Watson behind Webb in the draft, right?
Was he behind him?
Oh, maybe not. Second round for sure, yeah.
Yeah, he was second round. I think he had him at like 32, 33,
okay.
Something like that.
All right, just ahead of the Bills.
Yeah, just ahead of the Bills. But, you know, I would have thought he might have had Nathan Peterman out of Pitt ahead of Davis Webb. It seems like that's where everybody's thinking that, you know, Peterman is a little bit ahead of Webb. But, you know, I've heard people talk about Webb's arm talent and his accuracy and things like that. Chris Brown was down at the Senior Bowl when he was there, and he talked about, you know, I guess he had a decent week down there, but nothing that would possibly warrant a second-round pick. So we'll see.
Yeah, you're right. He had Deshaun Watson 34th with 10 picks later, Davis Webb. We're talking about the draft. It's only a couple weeks away now, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And we want to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter. No Twitter poll today, but our question posed on Twitter, and the question we have for you is, if everyone was available, which top three draft prospects would you like to see in the Bills? In other words, if the Bills could pick 1, 2, 3, filling their needs, three picks right at the top of the draft, who do you want to see on the Bills roster? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter. Here's a call from Ron in Lackawanna. Ron, what do you think?
Oh, hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Donald, I'm going to say I agree with you as far as us drafting the quarterback at the number 10th spot. I think it's a smokescreen. Maybe they get Cleveland want to push up from number 12 to number 10, and we can move back a couple of spots and pick up another draft pick. I like that move if that could happen. But my top three picks, I'm going to still go with, I like Adams, along with Hyde in the back there. Hyde could position this young rookie in that and play a great safety position with those two back there. I would love those two at safety. My second pick would be Lattimore. And then I would go with O.J. Howard. Those would be my three picks.
What do you think of those three, Donald?
I think they're all good picks. You know, I think anybody you're talking, if you could take the top three, I mean, everybody's going to throw out some of the best names
their
in
favorites.
The draft, right? Yeah. So, I mean, those are definitely three good picks for me. You know, I told you my picks. Mine would be, you know, Reuben Foster, Marlon Humphrey, and then Corey Davis. Yeah, Corey Davis, but – you know, if I wanted to just switch on that and say, you know what, let's go Jersey and go Jabril Peppers.
An old Jersey pick?
Yeah, Jabril Peppers, David Njoku, I think his name is. I don't know who else is from Jersey, but I'm sure there's somebody else up there from Jersey.
Jersey boys.
That's right.
Call here from Dave in Kenmore. Hello, Dave. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air with us.
Thank you very much. I just have one question for Don, if he could answer it. With all the people, once we get whatever it is, 46 or whatever, and then we start getting our backup players, do they think that there'd be any way that they would keep a guy like Logan Thomas, the tight end but ex-quarterback, if they would give him any practice time or use him just in case of an emergency?
To be honest, Dave, it wouldn't surprise me if they did that. We know that Sean McDermott likes guys who are versatile, you know, and Logan Thomas is a guy who played quarterback in college, and he can obviously play tight end now. He's learning how to play tight end at this level. So if you have a guy on your roster that can, you know, play tight end and he's a good tight end, oh, by the way, he can help us out at quarterback just in case all three of our quarterbacks went down. And, yeah, it's a great thing to have that guy on your roster.
Hey, we still want to engage with you on the draft. It is 2 weeks away. Your thoughts, if you get anybody in the draft, your top three for the Buffalo Bills, who would it be? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We also, at 2 o'clock, where the show ends today at 2, an hour early, because we've got live coverage of Tim Murray, Sabres General Manager's news conference, both on the radio and on MSG. And when we come back, fake news, real news. What do you call it, the Oscar Mayer season, the baloney season? And there's a lot of baloney out there in the draft and a lot of fake news being spread out there about the draft. We're going to dive into some of that baloney when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Donald and I just talking our Twitter question. It wasn't a poll today, and really our topic of the day is total fantasy. And yet, it generated interesting conversation. And it's almost like we're asking people, all right, who do you really like in this draft, and who might be the best fits for the Buffalo Bills? And yeah, that's legit,
it's
I think,
that,
right?
Or if you had the first three picks,
right,
who would you
which
take?
Is never going to happen.
Yeah, man, if you had the first three picks in this draft.
Well, to be honest, I got thinking about this today. How good a team would you have if you had, like, it's stupid, 32 picks. You had the entire first round. Like, man, would you be a Super Bowl champion? I don't think so right away. Would you be?
Oh, man, that would be. I mean, if you had the first 32 picks, that means the year before you probably didn't win any games because you didn't have anybody on your roster.
Well, no one
else. Now you're
going to
replace
point.
Your whole roster.
How good
basically.
Would that team be? A team of first-round picks, 32 first-round picks, all rookies.
Let's take half of them out as bus.
You got to do better than that. I don't know what, you know, we're close to the draft, and my mind is wandering thinking about the draft today, trying to find up a topic to talk about. And I came to the first three, but really I got thinking about, what if you had the whole first round?
The whole first round?
Well, how many games would you win? I don't know. They have all rookies.
True.
You might not be good.
You might
not
be good right away.
Yeah.
Right away. And then, I mean, it might take you a couple years.
Yeah. Anyway. It's an interesting topic. We talked about it. If you had the first three picks this year, if you're the Buffalo Bills, who would you choose? Who would be on your list if you had the pick of the litter? Anybody you want, first three picks. Got a couple of minutes for that. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Jay in Buffalo has some thoughts on that. Jay, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? Well,
Great. First
off, I'll pick Wallace, the receiver from Clemson.
Williams.
Second, yes.
Mike
yes.
Williams, okay.
Sorry. And I will pick Trubisky, the quarterback. Lattimore will be my third. If I had a fourth one, I would take Jabril Peppers. I took Lattimore over Peppers only because we got Michael Hyde in free agency, which I think he will play safety for. So that's why I choose Lattimore over Peppers.
Yeah, Micah Hyde is definitely they brought him in. For me, Micah Hyde is more of a strong safety. I would think if you wanted to go safety, you probably need to go to free safety, the free safety route. But I don't know if that's the route you should go, because I just don't trust a rookie controlling the back half of your defense. I mean, can it happen? Can you get a real smart guy that can get it done? Yeah, but you really have to teach that guy up in a short period of time for him to say, on day one, this guy's our starting free safety, and he's going to call the back half of it. That is tough to do. That's tough to do.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Jay. We want to turn the page a little bit and get to, because we got the abbreviated show today, we're out of two, so you can hear and watch Tim Murray's news conference. So we've got a few minutes left here, and we have to get this in because this is our favorite thing. You like this as much as I do?
The Fake 2 hours?
Yeah, no. Yeah, the 2 hour show. You like that as much as I do? How about a half hour?
You were talking. I had the 2 hours in my mind, and that's what I was thinking about. My bad.
Yeah. Fake news, real news is what we're talking about. 60% of Americans believe that mainstream media reports fake news. 6 out of 10 Americans. Amazing. When it comes to football, it might be even more because there is so much fake news. Donald and I like to bat around some of the fake or maybe real items that we see come across our desk every day. So it's time for Fake News, Real News, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Jarvis Landry, well known in these parts for his cheap shot hit on Aaron Williams. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let him off the hook for that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Landry in London, as they have a couple of days of NFL promotion going on in London. Jarvis Landry threw down the gauntlet today. He told a crowd in London that his team, the Dolphins, are going to beat the Patriots twice this coming season. He says they will sweep the Patriots. He says it's time for a change. They're not our big brother anymore. He said this is the year the Patriots will be knocked off the pedestal. Jarvis Landry was asked, why do you say that? And he said, Adam Gase, Coach Gase, he's flipped the switch with us. Jarvis Landry, fake news or real news, he says the Dolphins will sweep the Patriots in 2017. Fake. Dolphins aren't going to sweep them. Bills probably won't sweep them. Jets certainly won't sweep them. That's fake. Come on, Jarvis Landry.
I'm going to have to agree with you and say fake. I mean, when's the last time the Patriots were swept? Mm-hmm. I mean, swept within this division, I don't think it's happened in the last, I don't even know how many years. I mean, we have to look that up and get that stat. But The Dolphins, obviously, they made a stride last year. They made it. They sweeped. I mean, they backdoored themselves into the playoffs, and that's all good. But they don't have a good enough team to sweep the Patriots. I'm sorry. And no. You can't say that when this is a Super Bowl championship team. They don't show any signs of getting any worse. Oh, by the way, they show signs of just getting that much better with all the talent that they brought in this offseason, and they still have a draft to go through. So you can't say, as the Dolphins, that you're going to sweep the Patriots. It just doesn't make sense.
That's not going to happen.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, though, Jarvis.
Yeah, whatever. here's one, and this deals with the draft, and this came out of a report from Adam Schefter, the normally reliable Adam Schefter. Cleveland Browns, of course, with the first pick in the draft. They've been linked to Myles Garrett, the pass rush specialist, for months now. Supposedly the consensus first pick, the defensive end. But now Adam Schefter says the Browns have not yet made up their minds on who to draft. Decision makers appear to be thinking about maybe quarterback Mitchell Trubisky instead of Myles Garrett. Another NFL executive said, quote, "Don't be surprised if Myles Garrett is not the number one pick." Now, look, Trubisky's stock has risen for whatever reason over the last week or two. Mitchell Trubisky, certainly a first-round pick. But will the Browns that's our fake news, real news. The Browns are not going to draft Myles Garrett with the number one overall pick, going to instead go to Mitchell Trubisky. Fake news, real news, the Browns considering Trubisky number one overall. What do you say, Donald?
I'm going to say this is fake news. I think, I wouldn't be shocked if they went somewhere else, but I don't think it would be quarterback. Not any of these quarterbacks at number one. I think if they took a quarterback, it'd be at, the 12th pick I think they have.
Yeah, but who else could it be, though?
They've been linked to Leonard Fournette,
But number one overall.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to say fake. They're not going to take Trubisky. They could take somebody else. They could fall in love with Solomon Thomas and end up taking him over Myles Garrett. Same position, just like this guy more, but we'll see. I think this is fake, though. I don't think Trubisky's going number one overall.
I think this is fake as well. There's a lot going on with Trubisky right now, a lot of noise. The Bills, I think, as we said at the top of the show, I think the Bills may have started the ball rolling when it came to head fakes and smoke screens on the quarterbacks with Trubisky and Kaiser, the meetings with them. I think the Bills might have, got this whole thing process started, and I think the Browns are just sort of chipping in on that right now. Look, are you interested in Trubisky? Pick up the phone. Call us. We've got the number one overall pick, and we've got all those other picks. And if you're interested in Trubisky, then maybe you ought to give us a call. I think it's fake.
What is your mind like right now if you're Trubisky? Like, in your mind, okay, maybe I can – now they're talking about me possibly being the number one overall pick. They're talking about me going somewhere in the first round. I can even drop back into the second round because nobody might – nobody will take a quarterback in the first round. I mean, where is your mind right now? Should I go to the draft? Should I – stay back home. I don't know if I'm going to get drafted. I mean, that's crazy.
He's going to go because he's going to go first round, Trubisky.
Oh, yeah, he's going to go first.
I don't think he's going number one overall. I don't think the Browns are even thinking about that. All right, last item on our fake news, real news docket. Derek Rivers, Youngstown State, edge rush guy. Pretty good player. Youngstown State, right? FCS, right?
FCS.
Derek Rivers, the first non-FBS player selected this year in the draft. Fake or real? I'm saying real. I think he's the real deal, even though he comes from tiny little Youngstown State. But I think Derek Rivers probably will be the first non-FBS selection. And the other guy, I'm thinking of a couple of others, that the tight end that you brought to our attention the other day.
Yeah.
He's
the real deal, too.
Yeah, he's the real deal. I don't know that he's going ahead of Derek Rivers, but, Adam Shaheen from Ashland, obviously non-FBS. I'd say, yeah, Derek Rivers will be the first non-FBS selection in the draft this year.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is real as well. I think he's going to be the first non-FBS guy drafted in this year's draft. I think now the coaches right now are going back and forth because, he came out and ran that 4.61. And it kind of shocked a lot of these teams. And they're trying to figure out, is that where he plays? Is that really where he plays? So, it's interesting to see where he's going to go. I think he's going to be the first one drafted. Adam Shaheen won't be too far behind, though, because he is a good tight end coming out of Ashland.
You've met Derek Rivers. You like him, right?
I've met him. I like him. He's a very humble kid. I remember when I went to Youngstown, I talked to a couple of the coaches. I talked to the training staff. And the entire team was looking at me because I had on a Bills shirt, and everybody thought I was a scout. And so everybody, you start to look, oh, the Bills are here.
Yeah.
and it's like, I work for the Bills, but I'm not a scout. I'm not scouting you. But every coach, training staff, everybody there who I talked about him, and they said how humble of a person he is, and they said, last year he started to come into his own and understand that he wasn't the same as everybody else. Like, yeah, you're still on this team and you're always going to be a team player, but you have something real. You can be a high draft pick. Oh, by the way, one of the first guys to be, maybe if not the first guy drafted out of Youngstown State. So I don't know.
Nobody's ever been drafted?
Was Jaws drafted?
I think he was.
So he'll be the second then. You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll
yeah,
have to look
interesting.
That up.
He's going to go high, you know, and so he's humble and he's ready.
All right, so that's fake news, real news. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. We watch the Bills today and keep an eye on the off-season conditioning. They've got one more day of that, and then next week they get to phase two of the off-season work, a voluntary minicamp that starts next Tuesday, runs through next Thursday. Earlier today on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, head coach Sean McDermott talked with Howard Simon and Jeremy White about that first minicamp next week, about his first minicamp and what he's getting ready to do.
We're getting ready for our first mini camp, which begins next week, and I know the players are excited to get on the field, believe it or not, even this time of year, as are we as coaches. And it is a long off season, but it's a necessary window of time for us to prepare, get on the same page, and then look to move forward as a team. But we walked through practice yesterday, mm-hmm. just as a staff, and it was interesting because we went inside and then we went outside to the stadium just to walk around and see how practice would lay out in there. And it was really my first time in the stadium since being named the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and just a kind of a neat moment, special moment, and to be out there with my staff and talk about how the wind swirls in there and just get a better feel for that. And so it's exciting and yet at the same time we've got work to do.
Work that continues tomorrow and then of course next week with phase two of the off-season program. Back with more in a moment. Stand by. Tim Murray's 2 o'clock news conference will carry it live for you. So come on back. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What have we learned? We had Cardale Jones on the show in the first hour, and if you could hear him, you could hear him talk about the offseason improvements he thinks he has made since he left here last year.
You can always improve on mechanics overall, but it was really nothing too serious. It was just keeping my feet and hips in line with my target and just being able to deliver, like I said before, deliver when my feet is not on the waist set, or deliver some, you know, awkward positions, or not being able to always follow through because you might have a rush in your lap and things like that.
Cardale Jones on his offseason improvements. Also on the show just a few minutes ago, we talked with Tony Pauline from DraftScout.com, one of the foremost draft analysts in the National Football League working right now. Tony Pauline has a four-round mock draft up. He mocks Mike Williams to the Bills in the first round, the Clemson wide receiver. But we also asked him about the reports that came out earlier today about the Cleveland Browns, number one overall pick. They've been linked to Myles Garrett now for months, but maybe they go to Mitchell Trubisky, the North Carolina quarterback? We asked Tony Pauline about that when we had him on the show earlier this hour.
Well, I make that it's 2 weeks away from the draft, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff flying in the air. Some of it will be true. A lot of it won't be true. And, you know, what do you ever make of the Cleveland Browns? They never, you know, you never know what they're going to do. So it kind of fits. I think, you know, you're going to hear a lot of things that are thrown at the wall over the next 2 weeks. I think in the end, despite what's being reported, despite what I reported this morning, the Cleveland Browns will take Myles Garrett with the first pick of the draft, or at least they should take Myles Garrett.
Tony Pauline, wow, I don't know what he meant when he said, what do you ever make of the Cleveland Browns? I wonder if people say that about the Buffalo Bills. What do you make of the Buffalo Bills?
Probably.
I mean, how can you,
right?
They probably do. Right? And the Browns, I'm sure. I don't think that's
the Browns happening. Probably say the same thing about us.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're going to go anywhere but Myles Garrett, but we'll see. This is the fun of the draft in these final 2 weeks.
They have two picks in the first round.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, unless they're truly in love, it's interesting to hear him say, though, that, you know, the front office wants the quarterback and the coaching staff wants Myles Garrett.
How true is that? I don't know.
Yeah, how true is that? And then how does that play out on draft day, draft night? It's going to be interesting.
More draft analysis on the show tomorrow. Bucky Brooks from NFL.com will join us tomorrow to give us his take on the draft, how the first round plays out, and what the Buffalo Bills might be up to. We're going to break early on the show today. We're winding up right now. Andrew Peters will be back in here in a second for the Tim Murray News Conference, so stick around for that. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa Auto Store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, James Donovan, and Jay Harris is our producer. Jay, we'll see you tomorrow at noon, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.